Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, young people and friends. Thank you all for braving the elements to be here this evening. Alrighty, perfect. All right, so welcome to our fourth and final talk on our Waiting for the Kingdom series. And tonight's topic is the role of the saints. But before we begin, what I wanted to do was recap our study so far. So what I've done is I've actually printed off sheets on everybody's table there, and we're going to make a quick insert for our Bibles. So if you have a pencil or a pen, I did print extra sheets on that back table. So if you don't have one, there are some extra sheets by Uncle Mike back there. So please grab that. So the goal of this insert is to help us remember what we've covered in our series for the past month. So what I'll do is I'll put up some slides, and we have some of the questions that we've considered through our talks, as well as some of the verses to help us better prepare ourselves for the kingdom. Now on the sheet, we outlined the four classes and there's a box beside it. So you can put in there whatever you'd like. Again, I've got some stuff on the screen, but if you have other points that you've jotted down throughout the past 3 weeks, please feel free to do that. And those on Zoom, please, I encourage you to recap the notes for yourself, and then you can create your own inserts afterwards as well. Because it's important for us all to have them in our Bibles, because we'll be able to revisit them whenever we need. And hopefully that will help us stay excited for the kingdom. And ultimately, always be waiting for the kingdom, because that's the goal of our series for the last month or so. So can anybody tell me what we considered in our first class? Anybody but Josh?
Let Josh say it.
Anybody but Josh? This is a good exercise.
It's about preparing oil.
Okay. Yep.
You talked about how our life now is like we need to create like habits. I don't think it's really easy to write habits, but in like preparation for basically training ground, encouraging like behaviors and mindsets.
Yep. That's very good. So what I'll do is I'll just put it on the screen. The reason I wanted to do, The reason I wanted to do this is because we can forget things very easily, can't we? Right? So this is class number one. So what Brother Josh did is he brought our minds to how we're living our lives today, how we're preparing for the kingdom. And we have a decision to make. It's very clearly spelled out for us by God, either serve him or serve ourselves. And he brought us to a number of passages to further emphasize that point. Now, there's only two ways to live, and we need to decide which way we want to go. Only one of those ways leads to God's kingdom. So again, if you can jot some of these down, if you got your own, even better. So I'm going to move through this. Not super quickly, but if you do need these at the end, I'm happy to put them back up, but just for time's sake. Alrighty, so for our second class, what we did is we looked at the last days, and Brother Mike had us consider what it would be like in the last days and how we're currently living in those times, and that should be really exciting for us. And we considered those questions, what is it going to be like? We also looked at how loving God and loving your neighbor, they go hand in hand. We considered a number of passages regarding the signs we're given in the last days, and four of those are up on the screen there for you. So again, try to jot down a few of these things if you can, maybe just some of the passages, and you can write kind of your own notes there as well. And then last week, we looked at the 1,000-year period when Christ returns to set up the kingdom. And more specifically, Brother Peter took us through a contrast between our current world and the world that, or what the world will be like in the kingdom. We considered a new heavens and a new earth and what that means for us. How we need to be vigilant now, and we need to be aware of the influence that the world has on us. And it doesn't take away from us striving for the kingdom. We also looked at the contrast between light and darkness and what man's government is like versus what God's government will be like. All right, so there's a few of those on the screen there for us. And hopefully you're able to write some of those notes down, and perhaps you have some of your own notes that you'd like to add to that little insert. But if you want to fill those out more completely, I know we have all of our brothers who gave those talks. So please, I'm sure they'd love to talk to you after about it. So go up to them and you can fill those out in more detail. But let's get into our topic this evening. So our topic is our roles in the kingdom, or the roles of the saints. And here's our agenda for this evening, what we want to consider. First, we want to look at the prerequisite we need to have a role in God's kingdom. This is priority number one. We must have this qualification to earn a role in God's kingdom. Next, we're going to look at the different roles of the kingdom age. Now, we're going to break these down into three different sections and the different roles that we're going to play within those three sections. We're going to touch on all three, but mainly focus on one of them, just for time constraints tonight. We're going to have a discussion question as well, kind of in between the three sections, in between the first and the section, first and second section, where we want to consider the question of what our environment is going to be like in the kingdom. And there are some factors that I think we're all going to kind of think about as we discuss that question. I'll put some up on the screen for us. We'll also consider what it means when the kingdom is finally established and what that looks like. What it means when we say Eden will finally be restored. Do we fully consider what that means, Eden being restored? And then lastly, we're going to end with some takeaways to ponder and hopefully go away tonight uplifted by these series of classes and want to be in that kingdom, to have a role in that amazing day and to make it really real in our lives. And ultimately, that we want to be there more than anything else in the world. So let's begin tonight. So when you're applying for a job, there's usually a list of requirements or a prerequisite for getting that role, whether it's, you know, you need 5 or 10 years experience in the job, or you need, you know, a degree in that particular field to get that role or that job. And much like in the kingdom, there is a requirement and it's non-negotiable. We need to believe and be baptized. We cannot get a role in the kingdom without having fulfilled that requirement first and foremost. So where does God say this in scripture? Well, let's turn up a few passages. The first passage is there on the screen in John chapter 3. So if we want to open our Bibles, we'll go to John chapter 3 and we're going to read specifically verse 5, but we want to start kind of at the beginning of the chapter to get some context there. So again, that's John 3 and starting from the beginning of the chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Christ is telling Nicodemus here, unless we are baptized in him, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's about as clear as it can get for us. No getting around that requirement. We need to be born of water and Spirit. Baptism is a qualification we must have to inherit a role in his kingdom. Let's look at one more passage to further cement this point for us. And it's on the screen for us in Mark 16, verse 15 to 16. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So this is the requirement of God. We need to believe and be baptized. If we want to receive a role of the saints, this is step number one for us. Now, for some, this may be a step we haven't taken, but it's something for you to consider. If we're excited about the things we've been discussing about the kingdom, and we want to be there, we need to make that commitment. We need to take the step like Christ says. Now, for those of us who are baptized, that's just the beginning. We're not done here. We now have a responsibility to try to live the life that God has set out for us. to use our skills that we've been given to help others, to help our brothers and sisters, to help our ecclesia. Baptism is only the first step on that journey towards the kingdom. So now that we have the requirements needed to have a role in the kingdom, let's consider what we're going to be doing there. And our roles, I'm going to put forward to you, can be broken down into three sections. Now, this is a general breakdown. Certainly, you could drill down into subsections within these three roles. But I think overall, it helps to better frame our minds about what we're going to be doing in the kingdom. So number one, at the top of the screen there, there's a role in establishing Christ's kingdom. When Christ returns and after we're called to the judgment, we're gonna play a role in helping Christ establish his kingdom. We will help him in subduing the nations around us and fighting with Christ at Armageddon at the kings or with the coalition of the kings of the north. The second thing is once that's been done, we'll then have a role in Christ's kingdom or the 1,000-year period. And Peter touched on that last week. We'll have many different roles during that time, and each of us can play a role that suits our strength and our talents. And this is an area where we're going to focus mainly most of our time tonight, because we're given the most information about this time period in Scripture in particular. The final role is the role we'll play in God's eternal kingdom after the 1,000 years when God will be all in all, and the world will be made perfect for eternity. And we aren't told much about this time period, but I will give you potentially a reason as to why that might be. So let's look at this first role we're going to play in God's kingdom, establishing Christ's kingdom and subduing the nations that come down upon Israel. So after the judgment seat of Christ, when the saints are made immortal, Christ and the saints are going to come up from the south to face off against this confederate of nations, leading to this great battle that we all know of as Armageddon. Now, this is something kind of hard for us to understand, coming up to fight with Christ and these nations being destroyed. For some of us, that can be a really tough thing to fathom. And that's okay, because not only will our mortal bodies be changed to immortal and incorruptible, but our minds will also be changed. We're going to have a full understanding of God's plan and purpose. Our minds are going to be fixed on God's will and helping Christ to establish the kingdom. We're not going to think the way we do now. Our minds are going to be lifted up into a higher place. So although it's hard for us now to read of some of these passages talking about Armageddon, and we'll read of one in just a moment here, but in that kingdom age, when we're immortal, we'll be able to see things in a totally different way, a more perfect way. Our minds are going to be fixed upon bringing about this new era of complete peace and righteousness. And that should be super exciting for us. We're never going to get to a total place of peace and righteousness in this world. This only occurs when Christ comes. And we're going to have an active part to play in bringing about this new era of peace. We have a role here, and that should motivate each one of us. If we look around this world and we truly want peace for all mankind or true justice or righteousness, then this is how it's accomplished. Not through anything man can do, but it's going to be through Christ and his kingdom. So we have this great battle taking place, and we read of this in Revelation 16, verse 14 to 16, this battle of Armageddon. There's this threshing of these nations at Armageddon, and that's what Armageddon means. It's a heap of sheaves in a valley for judgment. There will be threshing these world powers at that time, and that outcome will bring others in the nations throughout the world to an acceptance of Christ. And God will judge these kings of the north through this great battle. And we're going to have a role to play with Christ. We'll come with him to defend Israel and to judge the nations through this great day. This is going to be a dramatic revealing of Christ to the world stage. So the goal of Armageddon is to remove wickedness from the world, to humble the nations, and to bring them unto Christ. Righteousness and peace will finally be established at this time. And we're going to have an active role to play here. So let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 1 to 5. And we're going to read of our involvement during this time. So this is Zechariah 14, and then we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter, and we're going to read the first five verses for us. It says there, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azul. He shall flee like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee." So we read of a really pretty terrible day, to be honest, with some really descriptive language. But it's important to remember from the outset that we're fulfilling God's will and filling the earth with his glory. And this is a necessary step to remove the nations in the world from power and to establish a new kingdom. And you can see here, we're going to be with Christ. In verse 5, it says, "The saints will be with Christ." Now, there's some additional verses on the screen there for you that describe this time, both in Jude 14 and 15, as well as Deuteronomy. And I recommend having those in your notes, as they better help paint the picture during this time of what it's going to be like during this great battle. So before we move on to the second section of our role to play in the kingdom, I want first to have a discussion. And I want to know what you think of when we consider being in Christ's kingdom. We're going to do it like we've done in weeks past, where we can all kind of turn our tables and we can kind of go with the table behind you there. You can have that discussion. Those on Zoom, we'd love to hear kind of what you have to say, so feel free to type that into the chat as well. But this is what we want to consider. When you think of the kingdom, what will the kingdom be like? What comes to your mind when you ponder the kingdom? I would imagine that some of us are going to focus on certain different aspects of the kingdom. Things like what we're going to be doing in the kingdom, our roles. Maybe some of us think about how the environment is going to change or what the earth is going to be like. Or perhaps some of us think about, you know, the mental state that we're going to be in. We're going to talk next about what we're going to be doing during Christ's kingdom and what we're going to be physically doing as roles, as well as kind of our emotional state and a few of those things as well. So first off, we're going to be kings and priests during that time. And we read of that throughout scripture. I'm not going to make us turn to those passages just for sake of time. They are on the screen there for you. I'll just kind of go through a few of these. In Revelation 5 verse 10, it says, "And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So it's very clear to us, kings and priests reigning on the earth. It also reinforces that these roles, these kings and priests, in Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this here gives us a little bit more detail. Well, we're going to be reigning with him for this 1,000-year period once we're made immortal at that first judgment of Christ. Also in Malachi 2:7, it says that they will come to us to learn, to seek God's ways and to want to learn about Christ. Malachi 2:7, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." So as priests, we're going to have this knowledge where people will come to us to learn about God, and we're the messenger for the Lord of hosts. That's pretty amazing. Not only will we be priests with this knowledge, but some of us might be teachers, where we're teaching the young kids about Christ and God and about his righteous ways, because we know there's going to be mortals there during that time. And maybe that's our skill, is teaching, and that's what we enjoy. We all have different skills. That's what I'm trying to get at here. And they're given to us now by God to be used in this life. But he's also going to use these skills in the life to come. God will use these to better bring to pass his vision of the kingdom where all sin is done away with and Christ rules over all. Some of us might be great listeners. That's me excluded, certainly. But some of us might be good listeners. Some of us might be good teachers. Or maybe we're really good at preaching the truth. God's going to use whatever talents that he's given us, and he's going to put those to perfect use in his kingdom. His goal is to bring all knowledge to him. And we'll all be using our talents to make that happen, whatever role that may be. And this is why it's so important for us to use our skills that God has given us now to hone them and to perfect them. Because we know the parable where the one servant goes and he takes his talent and he buries it, right? And then Christ comes back and he comes to that servant and the servant just says, you know, I buried my talent. I didn't use it. So Christ actually takes that talent away from him and he gives it to the person that actually used their talents. We know that. So God will utilize our skills to better his plan. And that should excite us to do something that we are great at, something that we enjoy doing. We'll also be able to empathize and sympathize. I knew I shouldn't have put those two words together, but I did anyway, with those mortals living during this time. Because we've already gone through it in this life. In our mortal lives, we've gone through these things. We've lived with the propensity to sin, to have fleshly desires. And we're going to be able to help those people, those mortals during this time, going through that same thing that we're going through each day. We can understand the struggle and we can be there to support and help them to come to Christ and to accept him. We can also use this knowledge and understanding we have to judge righteously in his kingdom. And this may be something that we struggle with to accept in our lives, how unfair life is, how there's no justice in the world. And we see those around and they're fighting for these causes. They're fighting for these injustices, hoping for something better. And in Christ's kingdom, those hopes, they're going to be realized. And we will help in that. And we're going to play a major role in bringing about this righteous judgment and rulership over all the earth. Let's read Psalm 72, verse 1-5. And this was our reading tonight, but this talks about this amazing time that we had read for us of this true and righteous judgment. It's right at the beginning of this psalm, the first 5 verses here. So Psalm 72, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. And he shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. So what an amazing time we read about where we break in pieces this old way, this oppressor. And we bring about this new way of peace and righteousness into the world. And I know we have some people in this room who love to be outdoors and they care for our environment, as we should. But perhaps God's going to use this interest to help us restore the earth back to the times of the Garden of Eden, where man was put there to dress and to keep it. Perhaps that's a role that you can look forward to, if that's an interest of yours. Now, for some, maybe roles in the kingdom aren't what excites you. Maybe it's something different. Maybe you struggle with anxiety or depression, and you want a world free of that. Or, you know, we want a time where we feel unending happiness or that pure joy. Perhaps we're searching for a true sense of purpose in this life. A lot of people look for that, have a feeling of meaning in life. We'll also be given that in the kingdom. So if this is something that excites you, maybe it's good to write some of these verses down as they may be what you're looking forward to most about in the kingdom. And we should be focusing on those things to better prepare us and for us to want to be there. The last role we have will be after this 1,000-year period when Christ will give over the kingdom to God for all eternity. And we don't have very much written about what this time will be like in the 1,000-year period. We are given some information, certainly, but we're not given a whole lot of information. We do have a small insight, and that's in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 24 to 28, where we're told God will be all in all. So that really brings up a question for us. Why aren't we told a lot about this time period? Well, we might not have been told because in our current state, we wouldn't fully understand. We cannot fully comprehend in our minds what it would mean to be like God, to fully embody him and his character. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it's actually Paul, and he talks about hearing these unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Some things man just cannot understand in our current state. So maybe it's telling that Christ's thousand-year reign is what we're told most about. So I put forward to you that that should be our focus. It should be what sustains us and gets us excited about the kingdom. God wants us focused on those roles, as there's something that we can fully comprehend in this life. That's something that we can see or that we can talk about and discuss. And ultimately, God's eternal kingdom comes down to a sense of faith. We need to have faith to be made immortal. Faith that being immortal will be the greatest, the most rewarding experience we can ever get. That God's reward will all be worth it. We're not going to be spending forever in a world where we're bored or a world that we don't like or enjoy. It will take faith that God will give us something so great, we're going to want to be there forever in that time. The earth being full of God's glory will be greater than we can ever imagine in our mortal minds. So we need to have that faith that the kingdom of God will bring about the greatest, most rewarding feelings we will ever have. So to end tonight, I want to consider a list of things that we can look forward to in the kingdom. A list of what it will be like and how the earth will be changed. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. There's two slides here, but I just want to touch on a few things. So number one, something that we can look forward to is not sinning anymore. And we read of that in Romans 5, verse 12. We also read about being immortal in 1 John 3. We shall be like him. There's going to be reduced sin amongst the mortals living during that time in Isaiah 26. There's going to be no more war. This is going to be this amazing time of peace. There's going to be extended lifespans to those that are living during this time, those mortals living. There's going to be joy and gladness for those people, for all of us. There's going to be no shortage of food. There's going to be nobody going hungry during this time. There's going to be mortals and immortals interacting. We're going to have these unbelievable conversations with people. Animals are going to be returned to their former state, like we read about in those passages in Isaiah. The environment is going to change. Man's not going to be polluting the earth like we know. We're not destroying God's creation. It's going to be amazing for us in that time. Then finally, we have Christ's temple being built, a place where everybody in the world is going to come to worship at this amazing temple. So reading this, it should really excite us, because this is a list of things not only that we want in this life, but people all throughout the world want some of these things. They want joy and happiness. They want extended lifespans. They want these things. And we're going to play an active role in this amazing place. So let's turn to Micah 4, verses 1 to 4. We're going to read some more of this amazing time. So this is Micah 4, verses 1 to 4. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV. It is on the screen there as well, but if you want to turn it up, I usually find it's better to turn it up and follow along. So Micah 4, verses 1 to 4, it says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and the peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. And no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." So we read about some of the roles that we've looked at tonight in these sections of verses. Teaching others of his way, righteous judgment of nations, and so on. What a great time of peace and righteousness that's going to be spread throughout the whole earth. So how do we make this vision real for each one of us? Because it's imperative that we picture ourselves there, picture ourselves helping to establish the kingdom, to play an active role during this time. If we cannot make the vision of the kingdom real in our lives, then we won't want to be there. It's like goal setting. You need to make it realistic to set our minds on these things, or else you're going to have no reason to try and obtain it. And the goal of this series was to really make it real for each one of us. And as we kind of found with our discussions, each one of us have a different idea of what the kingdom is going to be like, and make that real for each one of us. Because ultimately, we want to be there more than anything else in the world. Otherwise, what's the point of all this? Why read the Bible? Why believe in a God? Why come on a Thursday evening to learn and to read and to discuss? Why do all these things? Because we have a hope of a glorious kingdom. And we only have a small taste about how amazing that kingdom will be. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 tells us that no one has seen or heard or even imagined the things God has prepared for those who love him. Brothers and sisters, young people and friends, that should excite us and make us all want to be there. Thank you.